From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on Sunday, January 29th, with an announcement from Iran. But first, let's back up and remind you that President Donald Trump had just issued his first attempted travel ban, focusing on seven countries with predominantly Islamic populations. Iran was on that list, and Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif announced that Iran was considering a reciprocal ban and countermeasures. Of course, within days, a judge blocked President Trump's order, explaining that it was clearly constructed with religion in mind, which is, of course, against the law. So President Trump's team tried again, and their second travel ban was struck down just yesterday by another federal judge. That judge had some strong words for the president, indicating that the ban was ham-fisted and unconstitutional. And yet we remain in a moment in which religious and cultural divisions seem to be growing stronger. That's just one reason we wanted to turn our attention to an ancient festival called Nowruz, with roots in Persia and now celebrated by more than 300 million people around the world. For Westerners, they tend to have never heard of Nowruz, or if they have, they assume it's an Islamic tradition. But this is a festival that predates Islam, and it's meant to mark the beginning of spring and the rebirth of nature. But there's a lot more to explore about it, and we've got a lot to learn this hour, and we're excited to do that. So let me go ahead and welcome our guests for the hour. Shaheen Monshipour is an Iranian-American anthropologist who teaches sociology and cultural anthropology at RIT. Shaheen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for inviting me, Evan.
Well, it's great to have you.
And Nowruz Mubarak for those who are Iranians listening to this program and other ethno-linguistic communities. Happy New Year. Happy Nowruz. I'd like to start by telling you a little bit about origins.
You got to let me introduce your co-panelists.
Oh,
you're off and running.
You said Shaheen. Okay, very good. Go ahead.
Zeri Kamaray is also here, Director of the Science and Engineering Libraries at the University of Rochester. Zeri, welcome to you.
Thank you.
We've got a lot to talk about, including some poetry that we're going to hear as well coming up.
Yes.
It's great to have Zeri. And Robert Dunbar is a visiting professor in the Department of Religious Studies at St. John Fisher College. Robert, welcome to you as well.
Thank you, Evan, for having us here.
So, Shaheen, I think that's a great place to start for the audience, most of the audience who's never heard of Nowruz, what it is, how it's celebrated, the values associated. We'd love to hear it. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Nowruz is a, for the most part, a secular holiday. It's a festive tradition that dates back to about 2,500 years or so ago during the Achaemenid dynasty of Persian Empire. I must say that actually for Zoroastrians who were at that time living in the Empire of Persia, and that was the religion and the faith of that time, it's a holy day. But for the rest of us who are not Zoroastrians, Muslims, Jews, Christians who live in Central Asia, in Iran, and many other lands, it is either a national holiday or just a cultural festival. The documented history of Nowruz goes back to about 300 years BC. Xenophon, actually, the Greek philosopher and historian, has recorded having been attending a Nowruz celebration at the Hall of Nations of Pasargad and Takht-e-Jamshid, the Persepolis in Iran, that has carvings associated with Nowruz celebration. On those carvings, we don't see any mention of the word Nowruz. However, the 23 delegations from nations of the Persian Empire bearing and offering gifts to the king tell us about the festivities a whole lot. So that's the root of it. Would you like me to go?
Yeah, and just to kind of follow up, you say secular. The extent that Westerners have heard much about it, there's an assumption that it's tied to Islamic tradition. Certainly over time, festivals will pick up, you know, different nuance in different places, but it's primarily a secular festival.
Primarily a secular festival. However, on the icons on the table called or a spread of seven S's that Zeri would explain later about, people in Islamic nations do place a book of Quran just as other religions put a book of their own faith. Baha'is put perhaps their holy book. Christians in Iran, I remember, they celebrated, but they kind of, other religions in those countries and nations have embraced, Islam has embraced Nowruz. And so the two are a little bit mixed, but the Persian celebration has its roots in culture more than nowadays, especially than in religion. For instance, in Iran, they separate the Muslim New Year totally with this national holiday.
All right, so let's talk about how it's celebrated, because just the NPR stories I've read and some of the background, you hear these colorful traditions, a little different place to place, but a lot of really interesting things happen. How is it celebrated?
The way it's celebrated is based on the values of the faith of Zoroastrianism. Ahura Mazda, the leader of the faith, he had the three tenets, the basics of Zoroastrian religion, being simple things, three simple sentences. Good deeds, good words, good thoughts. Do well, speak well, think well, if you will. Goftorinik or kerdorinik, pendorinik. All of the celebration rituals come from those three things. About a week or so before, actually, the Nowruz, which happens exactly at the moment of equinox, vernal equinox, arrival of spring, people, just as they do here, they start in these other countries like Iran, preparing for Nowruz by stocking up groceries and sweets and things for hospitality, which is one element and one value of Nowruz, to buying new clothes. Everything has to be renewed. And after that, of course, it's the sitting around a table of seven symbols that Zari will explain about, that is equivalent of our Christmas tree here at the moment of equinox. And then after that, the rituals are pretty similar to what we celebrate in other cultures, gift giving and charity and visiting friends and elderly and all of those things that I will probably explain a little bit more in the part about those values. So
they're eating.
Yes, we have a special meal, and it's interesting. It's very cultural. In Iran, it's called sabzi polo mahi. It's an herbal mix of rice with fresh herbs with fish. But in other Nowruz celebrating countries, the celebrants sit around and have a meal of, let's say, if it's Kazakhstan, horse meat with some stew and other things. You know, Uzbekistan could be something else. And I like to have the callers from Central Asia, if we have any listening to the program, to call and tell us more about their celebrations. So there's a meal, but more important than the meal that is consumed at the eve of Nowruz, at the moment of arrival of Nowruz, whatever hour it is, it can be like this year, for instance, it's at 6:28 a.m. Rochester time. In Iran, it's about 1:58 afternoon. They sit around that table of symbols and do prayers, reading poetry, telling the stories about past Nowruzes, and until they're usually listening to the radio or television. Nowruz arrives with a big bang of special music, and then everybody says, the spring has arrived, and they burst into laughing and kissing and hugging and exchanging gifts and gold coins and sometimes dancing right on the spot. And then it is followed by different lengths of days and weeks of celebration and visiting and even street performances and dances, and it takes different scales.
Sign me up. It sounds like the kind of thing that brings a lot of people together for an extended amount of time, gets you, as you talk about those values of being together, of understanding rebirth and renewal. And you mentioned the seven, is it seven symbols? Zeri, can you tell us, and is it a haftseen?
Haftseen. Yes.
Which is spelled, by the way, H-A-F-T-S-E-E-N. So listeners, that's a new word for you. It's haftseen, which is what?
Haftseen. Haftseen is sabze, which means wheat, barley, or lentil sprouts. Mm-hmm. Samanu, which is a sweet pudding. And it symbolizes affluence. And by the way, sabze symbolizes rebirth. Senjed is a wild olive fruit symbolizing love. And sir is garlic, and it symbolizes medicine and health. Sib is apple, and it symbolizes beauty. And sumac, it's a fruit, and it symbolizes the color of sunrise. And sirke is vinegar, and it symbolizes old age and patience. And all these seven things, they are in beautifully designed plates, and they're set on a table, and in between their flowers and their beautiful decorations, ornaments that get placed on the table. So we have this for a week in an exhibit that our Rare Books and Special Collections is curating. And it will be on display in Rushree's Library in Lamb Square, March 20th to March 24th.
All right, so March 20th to the 24th at Rushree's Library, you've got a chance to see this exhibit,
yes,
which will show you more of what we're talking about with the
Nowruz
celebration.
Exactly.
That's great. That's wonderful. And you also mentioned before the hour began, Zeri, not to put you on the spot here, but
it's
when
okay.
we talk about there's music, there's celebration, there's eating, there's family gift giving.
Yes.
There's poetry?
Absolutely. Many families do poetry. Actually, some evenings, like in my family, one of our entertainments was just sitting around the table and reciting poetry. But particularly in Nowruz, we recite poetry, and I would like to recite a poem by Rumi.
Okay.
In Farsi and translating to English.
Okay.
And در دل من مها دل افروز تویی. In my heart, you're the light. یاران هستند لیک دلسوز تویی. There are many friends, but you're the compassionate one. شادند جهانیان به نوروز و به عید. The whole world is happy because of Nowruz and Eid. Eid mano, Nowruz man, emruz toyi. Today you're my Eid and you're my Nowruz. And this is to all the listeners.
That's wonderful. And that's Farsi translated to English.
Yes.
So here's a super ignorant question, Zeri, but I'm filled with those kinds of questions. Farsi, as a language, how prominent is Farsi?
It's spoken in the entire Iran,
okay,
and in the whole region of old Persia, which is some parts of Afghanistan, some parts of Pakistan, some parts of India. I'm going to let Professor Dunbar
Yeah, go ahead, Professor,
that.
Yeah.
Well, so Persian actually is still spoken in Afghanistan. It's known as Dari. In Central Asia, in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan, it's known as Tajik. It's really the same language with slight variations from place to place. And then you have, of course, different dialects as well of Iranian, right, that are related to Persian, such as Kurdish, and then regional dialects like Gilaki and Mazandarani, spoken in the north of Iran. So you have all of these people celebrating Nowruz, the national Iranian holiday, from, because you have to remember, the Persian Empire, as Zeri was saying, the Persian Empire extended from what is today the Republic of Turkey, right, all the way through to Central Asia, to what is today Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, down to the Indus Valley.
And you heard descriptions, Professor, of the celebrations of Nowruz in various places. Central Asia, are there anything you want to add to how it's celebrated there?
Well, in Central Asia, say, for example, in Uzbekistan, since the fall of the Soviet Union back in the early 90s, Nowruz has become sort of the main holiday that's celebrated in Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, and so on. It's taken on sort of national overtones, and so it's broadcast on state television annually, similar to, say, a Thanksgiving Day parade, a Macy's Day parade, or something like that. There'll be singing and dancing, choreographed dancing, I guess maybe like Macy's and the Super Bowl, the halftime show at the Super Bowl, right? So there's choreographed dancing and whatnot. National singers come out. The songs typically praise the nation, praise Nowruz, praise family values, things of that nature. And locally in neighborhoods, which are known as mahallas in Uzbekistan, women will gather the night before and start preparing a sumalak, which is similar to the samanu that you find in Persia, made of germinated wheat sprout and tastes somewhat like molasses. It's like a molasses pudding. Mm-hmm. And that is shared, that's prepared over the evening. Everyone, all the women in the neighborhood take a turn stirring it and whatnot. This is the traditional way of doing it. And when it's prepared in the morning, they will distribute it to family, friends, loved ones, neighbors. And it's thought to bring good health and promote good health for the year and be a good way to start the year, really. So just get the year off to a good start.
Shaheen, you want to jump in? Go ahead.
Yeah. Robert and I were talking about the Central Asian countries and the ex-Soviet Union when they were these Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Tajikistan, all of these countries who separated from Soviet Union. Under the Soviet rule, they had a challenge in celebrating Nowruz, even as ethnic communities. And even in Moscow, at some point, they embraced it, but then under a different name. They gave it for a while the name of the Day of the Farmer. And then they changed it to the Day of the Worker. But then finally, they gave up and they said, no, you can't celebrate Nowruz publicly. So one of the countries that now celebrates it big time is actually Azerbaijan. Mm-hmm. Because as Robert was saying, it brings back the sense of their ethnic roots and nationalism and independence. Nowruz symbolizes all of those things now for Azerbaijanis. And Baku celebration seems to be the most elaborate of all.
Was it, just to be sure then, Azerbaijan was a place where they could not celebrate Nowruz?
Exactly.
So now they're getting everything they can out of it.
Yes,
that's good.
Yes.
And Shaheen, I hear, you know, Robert telling the story of you know, the people in town, neighbors taking turns stirring the sweet pudding or
sumalak.
The sumalak. And I can't help but think, Shaheen, of what this event must do to build community, and then contrast it with wherever you live. It's probable that you don't know the names of the people who are 3-4 doors down. I mean, we just don't really know our neighbors here. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
Nowruz sounds like the kind of thing where you got to know your neighbors. The whole point is community.
Exactly. Yes. Actually, it's amazing how the diaspora in the U.S. is trying to revive those very village ceremonies. Even here in Rochester, Nowruz this year is going to be celebrated in the Iranian community at different colleges to the extent they can. And people are making samanu or semalak. It has so many different names, sumalak, sumanak in Tajikistan. It has different names. But anyways, it's the same thing. And these people in from the videos I've seen in Tajikistan, they have bathtub-sized pots of these wheat germs that symbolizes the wheat, the growth, agricultural connection. And then the patience that is taught through collective cooking and stirring and saying prayers. And sometimes while it's cooking for 12 hours in Samarkand and Bukhara, people dancing around it, from villages, children, elderly, everybody, until it's prepared. So it does a whole lot for bringing a community together.
Zara, you want to share some of your experience with that? Go ahead.
Yes, I grew up in Iran until the age of 18, and one of my best memories in life are from Nowruz, when we wore beautiful clothes, just our prettiest clothes, and we all gathered around Haftsin with the elders of our family, and we waited for the hour when the New Year started, and we celebrated by kissing each other, by hugging each other, and immediately the music would come on, not from the radio, but from members of the family who were playing different musical instruments. And we would dance, and if it was, we would dance to the music, and usually the entire family would go and visit the elders of the family. Those were the ones who were visited first. And then we would just, in the order of age, we would just keep visiting family. It was the only time that the elders of the family were more important. Like when you're eating food, you're always... In my custom, you always feed the younger. But in visiting for Nowruz, you always go to people who are older than you.
This is going to sound preachy, and I apologize for this. But just think about, I just got an email that I'm going to read in a second that I think frames exactly how I'm feeling hearing these stories of how Iranians celebrate, of how Nowruz is celebrated around the world, how little we know in the West about it. Think of modern media depictions of Iranians, of people of different backgrounds. Joel writes to us and says, how about the racist depictions of Persians in the awful film 300? Persians are depicted as backward and savage, shareholders compared to the Spartans or whatever the heck the guys were who fought at Thermopylae. Robert, you're kind of...
My students bring that up all the time. Because I teach a course on Iranian history, and so when we talk about ancient Persia, the ancient Iranian dynasties, I'll mention Xerxes. Oh, you mean from the movie 300? And I have to correct that all the time. It's like, well, okay, Xerxes was not a huge, ripped guy. He was a very normal person. He did not have tattoos all over his body. He did not have a nose ring. He was not bald. He didn't have that chain going from his nose to his ear. And the immortals, the holy immortals, were not ninjas. So I always have to correct these things. It's a completely, as far as that film is concerned, it's just a completely inaccurate depiction of what ancient Persian warriors look like with regard to ancient Persia itself.
And hey, but that film made a couple $100 million. And there's a number of Westerners who that's pretty much their only experience with quote-unquote Persia or Iranians. And then you hear Zeri, you hear Shaheen giving you these descriptions. You want to talk values. For a country that loves to talk family values, are there more family values than, than Nowruz? I mean, this is about the most you can imagine family values.
Yes.
Shaheen, go ahead.
Some of the values around Nowruz that are emphasized in Iran during this time of the year, specifically connected with Nowruz preparations, are values of, first of all, hospitality. Secondly, first of all, actually, cleanliness. We start in preparation for Nowruz to clean the house, clean physically, mentally, spiritually. It means we clean our houses, wash everything down, throw away anything that looks sad or too old or broken, buy a few new items, it doesn't have to be fancy, replace the old with the new. But also, I remember as a child, I was told this is the time that if you have a grudge with someone, with a classmate, with a peer, with a colleague, you go and say, I'm sorry, and forgive, and close the chapter. This belongs to the old year. We're going to have a new year. So peacemaking is a big part of it. The other part is this gratitude value. Thank you. We basically focus on teaching our children around this festive time in a very good mood about thank you, sorry, and you're welcome. These are emphasized throughout the whole time. Go say sorry for you hurt someone. Go make friends with a neighbor you had a quarrel with. Forgive the past and start anew. So these are the things that I remember from my childhood, how my parents tried to instill those values in us at this time.
And the, values that are expressed, actually, for the audience listening, they might find say similar values being expressed in a holiday such as Yom Kippur, right, where you're supposed to forgive. It's a time of forgiveness. It's a time of doing away with old grudges and things like that. So you see these sort of values expressed from one society to the next in their rituals, which, I mean, in Nowruz does have its roots, say, in the Zoroastrian tradition, and those are the values that are being expressed, right? As Shaheen said before, right action, right thought, right.
Yes.
Right word and whatnot.
And so. If you're listening and you want to look up more, again, Nowruz is Nowruz. Before we get our only break of the hour, I want Zeri to just tell us a little bit more again about how people can see the exhibit. I know you also have a Nowruz celebration at the University of Rochester on the 24th, but I think that's already full. So if for listeners in the public, you're going to have to make your own Nowruz celebrations out there. Zeri, correct me if I'm wrong on that. Go ahead.
So the exhibit is going to be in Lamb Square. As you enter Rushri's library, Lamb Square is a prominent place. If you, it's right by the service desk, where the service desk is actually. Program, which is a celebration, but more than that, is a cultural teaching of what Nowruz is, and a lot of it's connected to our curriculum, some of our classrooms. The world dance class in University of Rochester is going to dance for 2 minutes, I believe. And then we have a Persian student who is actually the president of the Persian Student Association in University of Rochester, who's going to do a Turkish dance. Then we will have Kurdish music. We will invite the entire audience to participate. There will be some sweets and some tea served. Our star speaker is Shaheen Monshipur. For obvious reasons, she's very knowledgeable about this. She's going to introduce Nowruz to the audience. We will be there for 2 hours, not only to introduce this beautiful cultural event, but also to talk about it and answer questions. This is open to the University of Rochester community, but if others decide to come, please know that you may not have room to sit, but we never kick anyone out.
There
it's
you go.
Nowruz and
it's Nowruz. It's yes, a lot to celebrate. And I did want to ask Zeri and Shaheen, it sounds like you're building these great traditions and celebrations here. Is it hard, though, to be here and not in Iran this time of year, knowing what's going on there?
Don't make me cry. Yes, it is very difficult, especially at this time, Evan. For instance, myself, I bought a ticket way in advance to make use of the 1 week spring break that happens to be at RIT exactly this week. I wanted to go to Iran and be at right prior to Nowruz with my family, and on Nowruz Day, come back to teach my classes. And I lost that ticket because of the current situation. It's non-refundable. I wanted it inexpensive since it was just for 1 week. And my family are very sad there that I won't go there. Also, part of my relatives, my sister and nieces, were going to come to see me in April. And they have never been to the U.S., and they wanted to come for a visit, and they are stuck, and they can't come. And this situation, because it's similar for many of our students, I wouldn't say many, I don't know how many, but I have ran into students from Iran especially, who had plans with their families to be together, and they are canceled at this point. So that's why Zari is making this beautiful effort at the U of R to get us together, to cheer up those students, and to have something going on here that is kind of resembling Nowruz back at home. But being separate from family is the worst part of it this year.
All right, I've got to get a break, but let's stay on. Then I want to hear more from Zari Kamaray as well when we come back to hear about, you know, your thoughts and concerns about these recent attempted travel bans. If you saw on the news, yes, a federal judge struck down the newest attempt at a travel ban from the White House. So that's 2 for 2, or I would say 0 for 2 for the White House on that. But that obviously that doesn't mean there haven't been an impact. You just heard from Shaheen on that. So we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. And at this point, if you got questions or comments or you want to share your thoughts on Nowruz, the Persian New Year, the celebrations that are happening around the world, and some right here in Rochester, it's 844-295-TALK. That's toll-free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're calling from Rochester, 263-9994. We're right back. Coming up in our second hour, we preview the annual Fast Forward Film Festival. It's a local festival featuring films very short, 5 minutes or less, some of them about 2.5 minutes, telling stories of our environment, climate change, science, even what a future Rochester might look like if we don't change. We'll hear about those themes with some of the filmmakers next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. You just heard Shaheen Monshipour, who's an Iranian-American anthropologist who teaches sociology and cultural anthropology at RIT, describing how the recent travel bans have impacted her. In fact, she's going to be here for Nowruz, but would have been home. So certainly making the best of it here, but you heard that. And Zari, how about you? What would you share about that?
I have seen, personally, I would not be able to visit my family, neither my family would be able to visit me. But I had plans, my family, some family members in Europe and even in Canada, since they're still not citizens, they need to get visas to come to the United States to visit us, and their plans are up in the air. So it's not just from Iran, but Persians all over the world have the same problem. My heart breaks for our Iranian students who are here. And the first night that there was news about this ban, I was invited by one of the Iranian students on our campus in University of Rochester. And I believe the entire Iranian student group that were in that dinner together, they were really concerned and sad. One of them, her husband has been away for a while and is not able to get a visa to come over here, and she's a graduate student. So it has impacted the Iranian student community. It has impacted the Iranian-American community. But I believe even more than the Iranian-American community, it has impacted the Iranian students who are here on visa, and they're basically caught in this political situation. This reminds me of the 1980s, right after the revolution, and when the Iran-Iraq war happened and the hostage crisis was happening. And I remember I was caught in that same situation where I didn't see my family for 10 years. I was a single woman in this country. By the time my parents and my family got to see me, I was married and I had 2 children. The entire time, they did not get to see me. And these political situations from both sides, not just in the United States, but the political situation in Iran as well, the statements they make, it impacts normal people like myself who have nothing to do with politics, and we're just working and making a living, and we want to have a peaceful life, and all we expect is to visit family.
Let me ask both of you before I go to the phones, and Elise and Trudy on the phones, we're coming to you in just a moment, but I want to ask Zeri and then Shaheen, when you talk to friends or family in Iran, is there an assumption that these orders, these executive orders, for lack of a better term, are America? Do they represent the United States? Do people look at them as Donald Trump's order, or that's the United States now? In other words, can they separate the fact from this White House versus a significant portion of the population that didn't want this kind of an order?
The Iranian people do separate it. At least the population that I'm in touch with, they do separate.
Yes.
There is a difference between the government, the heads of the governments, and the American people, because they are also caught in the same situation. The Iranian government does not represent the Iranian people.
Okay. Shaheen?
Same here, yes. I think they do separate it very well. My sister the other day on the phone was very sad that I couldn't go to Iran, but he said, well, you've got bigger problems. You've got a Trump there, and at least we don't have Trump. And she added, she said, you know what? People are saying since Mr. Trump has become the president, we kind of say, hey, we're not doing too bad with our regime. Look at, they are America with all the educational institutions and all the affluence and modernity and Western culture. You got a prejudiced guy like that in the White House. How do nice people like that end up with that? And I thought that was a very interesting political comment came out of her, and I don't know how it represents other people in Iran, but she said, all of a sudden we are saying they don't seem really much more advanced than us if that president is the man we see.
Mm. All right, let me get to some of your phone calls. Elise in Rochester, first up. Go ahead, Elise.
Oh, I just wanted to thank you for having this conversation today. I have a background in Middle Eastern studies. I got my master's in Middle Eastern studies and had studied Arabic, and I'm a great lover of Rumi myself. And I'm just really grateful that given the political climate, we can talk about these celebrations because it really humanizes for people who are not well aware of the region what it's like, and also that it is so diverse. It is such an amazing region with such diversity, and it is really, you know, the homeland and the cradle of where we all came from and so much of what we consider to be civilization and being good to people and honoring other people. So I think it's wonderful that, you know, Nowruz is becoming something that hopefully as a Rochester community people can start to say, oh, this is such an amazing, you know, ancient tradition that is really, really wonderful.
Thank
and
you.
Everybody can kind of have a part in it.
Elise, thanks for the phone call. What does that mean to you, Shaheen?
Oh, I'm so happy you're calling. Thank you so much for your attention. And yes, you're right. We're on our path to make this celebration and our culture a little bit more known to people in Rochester. And we hope to be successful at it. Thank you so much for your call. It's heartwarming at Nowruz time.
Yeah, Zeri, you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling, and thanks for your comments. It really means a lot to us.
Professor Dunbar?
As a professor, it's good to hear former students calling in and
saying, I looked at you there. I thought, there you go. Yeah.
There you go.
No, all right, good. We're getting through.
All right, let me go to Trudy next up, calling in Rochester. Go ahead, Trudy.
Hello. I really enjoy this program. Now, I'm originally from Germany, and I see my family twice a year in Germany. There are a lot of Iranians in Germany, and I'm amazed about them. They speak sometimes four languages. You can get a cab driver. He speaks four languages. I think Iranian people, they like education, just like we do in Germany. And I was actually treated by an Iranian doctor, and I had nothing but praise for him. So this is a great program. I enjoy it.
Well, Trudy, thank you so much there. How many languages do you speak, Shaheen?
I speak English. I speak Farsi. I understand about 50% Arabic, and I speak many dialects of Iran. And I used to teach at NTID as a visiting professor for 5 years. So I'm still good at sign language. And I'm not like some Iranians who speak a lot of European languages.
Well, did you grow, again, pardon my ignorance, did you grow up with Farsi? Is that the
I grew up with Farsi, but Iran is linguistically very rich. Each region of Iran speaks a different language. So if you go from town to town in Iran, you may not sometimes understand the language people speak on the streets. So dialects that have Turkic origin, they have other origins. I know several dialects, but not quite fluent in other languages of the Middle East.
Well, here's a little shout out to my seventh grade English teacher, John Thompson, who was fabulous. And John Thompson had a vocabulary word called polyglot when I was in seventh grade. And I thought, what's polyglot? And he said, it's what privileged Americans don't have to be. That was his answer. John Thompson. I still remember that. And I went, what? Then, oh, well, because Americans think, but the whole world speaks English. And look at this, just amazing. Zeri, what did you grow up with? Farsi as well?
Yes, I grew up with Farsi or Persian. And so I still speak it fluently. I started speaking English and reading and writing when I was a teenager, about 10, 11 years old. And I also could speak French, but ever since I moved to the United States, I lost that. So that's reading and writing at this stage. I can also read and write Arabic. I understand it, but I need a little practice speaking.
We all relate to that when we don't use a language. It's like a muscle. It atrophies. Professor Dunbar, okay, you want to weigh in on this, on the language thing here?
Obviously, I grew up speaking English, but I've been
fortunate. He is good at Farsi.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to have studied Persian, Arabic, Russian, Uzbek, and Azeri. So Azerbaijani, Azeri. Turkic.
Yeah, I wonder now if there is if there's some wisdom in American students learning some of these language as the world.
I tend to think so, yeah, personally. But I'm biased, obviously. So.
We had a phone call from a listener named May who's off the line now. May, if you want to call back, let us know. She's an African Muslim woman who called to say, I'm impressed with this celebration. I'd never heard of it. And she appreciates this program today for drawing it to her attention.
You.
So May, you're welcome. And thank you for the phone call. On that, we've got a few minutes left here, and you know you can't get all of Nowruz in 1 hour or even one day. That's the fun of it. But Shaheen, what haven't we hit on Nowruz that you want people to understand about the celebrations?
Oh, like you said, there are big books having been published about Nowruz. I think I'd like people to just Google the word Nowruz. It has different spellings, but this N-O-W-R-U-Z was in 2010 became the international spelling for it. So if you go and just type the word, and it was proclaimed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2010, and it is also, Nowruz was inscribed in 2009 on representative list of the intangible cultural heritage of humanity. So if you put in any of these words, you will see tons of information that tell you about Nowruz and how it's celebrated. I like to, what we haven't hit on is celebration of it in United States.
Yeah.
In New York City, every year we have a Persian parade. They block some of the most important streets in New York City, and thousands of Iranians come there with floats and parade and celebration, and it is really lovely to go see. In Los Angeles, that has the biggest population of Iranian immigrants, they do a really big scale, and in big cities around United States, it's celebrated with music and dance and parade and food and everything.
Well, we have Duad in Rochester on the line, who is from Afghanistan originally, where they celebrate Nowruz. Go ahead, Duad. Are you there, Duad? Oh, I think we lost the call. There's two calls, May and Duad. If we can get you, call back here. We had him and lost him. Oh, man. So sorry about that. But he was calling and originally from Afghanistan, where, as we've been talking about, of course, Nowruz is celebrated. And also should mention that, you know, if you missed it earlier in the hour, we've been talking about how Nowruz has evolved and changed, where it has been in some places not allowed to be celebrated, and now it is. Nowruz also used as a way of expression of kind of political nationalism and Shaheen kind of resisting forced identities by ruling powers, right?
Yes. Yes.
So, and probably a number of examples we could point to. So, Juwad, let's try this again. See if we can... we can try it again. Juwad, are you there?
Yeah, hello. I would like to send my regards to your guest, mm-hmm. and in their language, it's Drood. That was the old way of saying.
Yes.
Greetings. And I am from Afghanistan as an immigrant. I came in here when I was very young, 13 years old, started studying here and graduated from RIT, and kind of did get a chance to go back to Afghanistan as a linguist, and served there, and then came back, so kind of served both of my countries. So yeah, we do celebrate Nowruz more so when I was in during my childhood memories, faint memories. Neighbors, kind of the earlier as I was listening to the story, collective woman would cook samanak, we call it, which is the stew you guys were talking about, which is the sprouts, wheat sprouts, throughout the night. And they would sing and dance and talk and make prayers and ask for things. And a kind of very hopeful and very spirited gathering it was.
Indeed.
And I used to remember I was awake until maybe really late, until I fell asleep in the neighbor's house, of course. Because it's a kind of a one place where that little area would designate for Nowruz. Mm. And for the tomorrow, everybody would, when they wake up, they would have, of course, very, very jolly gathering and very happy and would meet each other and would have this, we in Afghanistan do, we call it haft mewa, which is seven different fruits. And it consists of the ones I remember is, I guess that's almonds and, man, it's been a while. And sinjit, which is another type of fruit, dry fruit. And I'm not sure the English equivalent.
Wild olive.
Olive, okay.
Yeah.
And yes, and then some other apricots. Dried, mm-hmm. So we would have this in a water, soaked in water for a couple of days, and then during the Nowruz day, they would distribute it amongst the family during this breakfast, and then you would visit families and whatnot. Others would come in, and usually it's a holiday, so it's kind of like the Muslim tradition of Eid, and this has been an Eid for thousands of years actually. Throughout the Central Asia and the Persian Empire, which Afghanistan was part of, and at that time it was called Khorasan.
Yes.
And it changed names to Bactria or Bakhtar, Bakhtar and Aryana. And that's where you get the name Aryan.
Well,
but anyway, so this has kind of been my experiences, and unfortunately here not so much, but this year the Afghan community also have Nowruz celebration as well. There's Afghan Society of Rochester. We, as mentioned, we speak Persian, but we have the dialect of it, which is called Dari. And you know, Afghanistan is a multi-ethnic country. It's small, but 35 million, has other ethnics. But Persia empire that play a huge and significant role in that history.
All right, Jawad, I've got to jump in because we're almost out of time. So real brief comment, Shahina. We're about to wrap the program.
I just want Jawad to please tell us more about the, if you can, pass on the information about the Afghan community leader.
Yeah, Jawad, call the program back here. Producer Megan Mack will, if we can, maybe take some information down about the Afghan Society of Rochester. We can get a little bit more about that and share it with our guests. And I hope what you've learned this hour is there is a really rich cultural celebration happening, 300 million plus people around the world celebrating now all the way up till Tuesday, 21st. And our guests have done a great job of painting this picture and educating us. Shaheen Munshipur, thank you so much for your expertise and time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Zeri Kamaray, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can we say happy Nowruz? Yes?
Nowruz Mubarak.
Nowruz Mubarak. Very good. And Professor Dunbar, thank you to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
All right, short break. More Connections coming ahead.